Welcome to the March Legacy Systems Insights, sponsored by Leidos. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
Like many federal departments, Justice has an urgent need to modernize its IT systems. That task falls under the purview of Chief Information Officer Joe Klimovich. I asked him why modernization matters in the first place.
First of all, IT modernization is incredibly essential to our supporting DOJ's mission. Aging technology is vulnerable to cyber threats and expensive to operate and maintain. But beyond that, modernization provides an impetus for updating our business processes. I think it's always important to look at your business processes. Assessing the extent of legacy systems is a challenging task, given that the definition of legacy systems is not really clear or universally defined. There's not an official reportable item as part of our portfolio management or FSMA, but just kind of bounded within DOJ, we currently have 163 unclassified FSMA systems, 36 FSMA high systems, 22 high-value assets. But when you look at modernization and legacy systems, in the past 4 years, we've been able to save money or avoid spending money to the tune of over $300 million in IT. In 2017 alone, we retired over 50 legacy applications or systems, and we've had a huge effort to consolidate our operations into shared data centers or migrating to the cloud, and that's had a huge return on investment.
When you retire an application or a system, basically you're retiring software because the systems or the hardware, networking, storage infrastructure, that's really a different matter than the logic and the applications running on top of them, correct?
Well, it's some of both. In some cases, we're going to bring the hardware and software together in core data centers, or we're going to move the application to a commercial cloud solution. So a little bit of both, but what it does show is that the network becomes very, very important because all of our mission essential applications are we have to connect remotely into those applications.
I guess, yeah, you hinted at the idea that it's hard to define legacy. I guess legacy is something that's been up and running for a couple of years. I mean, there's legacy and there's legacy. Do you have some really old stuff like VA and some of the other big agencies that are really, really need to be replaced or modernized urgently?
Well, I mean, from a definition of legacy, the MGT Act defined legacy as an outdated or obsolete system of information technology. In my words, a legacy system is one that does not support the mission or can no longer be modernized or supported through standard support agreements. We've got a lot of old code, but it's running on more modern hardware platforms. But the old code has limitations, and we're in the process of modernizing it pretty much across the board. It's just a matter of how fast we can get there.
And if you have old code, maybe you can give us an example of not something you can talk about. What is the issue with old code if it's running and still supporting the mission but needs to be modernized? Why would you need to modernize it?
Well, we have a lot of millions of lines of COBOL code, assembler, M204, and a lot of these languages are hard to support. Getting industry to support them, and also patching, keeping things current. Some of these older systems may have other software versions hard-coded into them. And so things like Java is embedded in a lot of applications, but you need to update that constantly, and it may not be as easy. I also think you bring up a good point that you cannot assume that legacy systems, by definition, are not able to support digital, mobile, cloud services. But from my perspective, they're not typically optimized for these services. Technology continues to evolve, and the world every day is more and more digitally connected. And we need to ensure that all of our systems are cloud and mobile optimized. Legacy systems typically were designed for desktop computers, and the modern workforce just doesn't, they're not tied to a desktop. They're on the go, and they want everything to be accessible via mobile devices. Modern applications are, you know, are designed to leverage the elasticity and unique performance capabilities of the cloud, so they, you know, scale on demand. And then legacy, you know, systems can impact modernization and other systems, so that there's this, we have a very interconnected network of systems, and not just with Injustice, but in other agencies, state and local. And if you're not modernizing, then it impacts your ability to interface with these other agencies. You know, I think beyond security risks, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things that are out there that legacy systems impact. And I think one of the things that I mentioned early on is we want to modernize our processes. But when you look at a lot of existing processes, they're based on how you would do things from a paper perspective. And when you move to a digital environment, you have an opportunity to radically change the way you do business. And I think, you know, finally, it's just that these legacy systems, they impact our ability to share information across organizations, and typically have, you know, somewhat limited analytical capabilities to deliver timely and actionable information. So,
sure,
a lot of things to consider.
We're speaking with Justice Department CIO Joe Klimovich, and just not to get too deep in the woods, but when you talk about COBOL and assembler language, those are really hard to move to the cloud because they are tied so closely to the instruction set of the original computers they were programmed for, which may or may not be what's there in the cloud.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, we don't have those running in commercial clouds at this point, so yeah, we've got to do some work to get to that point.
And you also mentioned another implication of legacy and the need to modernize, and that's the workforce, whether contractor, I guess, or government. Is the people have disappeared, really, that can do anything with assembler code, much less COBOL and some of the others.
Well, you can still find people who understand the languages and so on to some extent, but you're certainly going to pay for that knowledge. It is a limited skill set today.
Yeah, and so let's talk about a little bit about the MGT Act, the Modernizing Government Technology Act. I guess as we speak, some of the initial applications for revolving funds under that are going into the, you know, the committee that's evaluating these proposals. What are your plans with respect to the Management Act?
Well, at this point, we're certainly monitoring how that is progressing. We don't have any specific plans to utilize the MGT Act funds if, you know, they become available. At this point, we have Injustice. We're fortunate that we have several existing funding authorities to support modernization, and we're going to continue to utilize those at this time.
And when you mention the number of systems that you have, you know, a couple of hundred really that could be considered candidates for work here, these are throughout all of the main justice bureaus and the justice headquarters itself?
Correct. We've got the 43 components in justice, and now worldwide, and thousands of facilities around the world. You know, our modernization strategy is really based first and foremost to do no harm to the mission, support the mission. So we, as you modernize, there's plenty of opportunity to impact the mission in a negative way. So you've got to be very careful that you're doing this in a deliberative, thoughtful way and in a collaborative way with our mission partners. But I was a huge supporter of shared services, and we want to leverage shared services to modernize and optimize our IT. And I think there's also, you know, huge opportunity to eliminate unnecessary duplication. That includes the data, reducing complexity and promoting interoperability. I think we're taking advantage of a lot of managed services in terms of our commodity-based information services and technology to reduce, you know, reduce our cost. And to the extent possible, implement innovative tools, technology, and processes to, you know, build that future-ready organization and really make sure we're supporting the mission.
Can you give us an example of a service that might be shared even within Justice Department and those 40-some components that might be separate now?
Sure. I mean, one of the biggest ones is our network, and that has a lot of cybersecurity embedded in there. So we've got our wide area network is shared throughout most of our sites, and that's a shared resource. It doesn't make sense for everybody to build their own networking capabilities. Data centers, we've got three core data centers. We had 110 data centers back in 2010. We're down to less than 30 now, so we're making huge progress in that area. Just if you think about where your spend is, and a lot of this commodity IT, IT infrastructure is shared, can be shared, should be shared across the organization. And that's really where I've been putting a lot of focus because I think it's an opportunity for huge ROI.
What about financial systems in justice? Is there a single one for all of the Justice Department at this point?
Well, we've made tremendous progress over the last couple of years in building a unified financial management system. Happy to report that by the end of FY19, we will be down to one financial management system for all of justice. And that's every year we've about another five or six components migrate into this unified financial management system. But it's certainly a multi-year effort to get to that. And again, we'll have huge payoff and benefit down the road because, well, you know, one of the biggest things you need prerequisite to go in terms of modernizing is understanding where your costs are, how you're spending your money, and that allows you to make better decisions. So we're really pushing forward to closing on one financial management system.
Justice Department CIO Joe Klimovich. After this break, Klimovich describes the portfolio management system the Office of the CIO and other stakeholders use to keep things on track. I'm Tom Temin.
For decades, Leidos has been trusted by government and business to solve complex challenges with the application of IT, engineering, and science. This year, gain transformative insights from thought leaders at Leidos, ranked number one in government IT and systems integration, on top-of-mind topics including cloud, legacy systems, IT modernization, open systems, and cybersecurity. Hear more at federalnewsradio.com by searching Leidos. That's L-E-I-D-O-S.
For a department as far-flung as the Justice Department, tracking all of the IT projects, and especially the new developments and the modernizing of legacy applications, requires a strong management overlay. CIO Joe Klimovich describes how it works.
Well, we've got a fairly mature governance model within the Department of Justice where we've got a CIO council. We've got committees that cover everything. The committees are co-chaired by a senior staff director in my office, and a component CIO. We have a large component CIO and a small component CIO, so essentially a tri-chair of these committees. And then they bring decisions to the CIO council. We've got a Department Investment Review Council that periodically brings programs together to with our CXO community, and also representation there from the business side of things and some component CIOs, and we do a fairly in-depth review of those investments. But there's just a whole myriad of mechanisms and processes in place to ensure that we're making the right investments and that we're getting value out of each one of these investments.
What you imply then in describing it that way is that even though you are not going to go after some of the MGT Act funds, you have other ways of funding your modernization. FITARA compliance applies to a lot of this.
And we were doing a lot of the building those mechanisms and had them in place before FITARA, but FITARA gave us the opportunity to enhance those processes. When you look at where to make the investment, you obviously need to look at, as I said earlier, the supporting the mission, but it's also assessing the risk. Operational risk, is it in jeopardy of risk of failure, not being able to support the mission, but also cybersecurity. So those are, things that we're constantly evaluating and looking at. We have a lot of modernization activities currently underway, and we'll continue pushing forward in that area.
What are you doing with respect to digital services, whether deployed internally to people in justice and the different components, or if there is any application into the Justice Department to the public?
Well, we don't have a dedicated digital services team within Justice, but what we're doing is, from my office, is being able to help components look at opportunities for for applying modernized technology, innovative technology. I've got my CTO has certainly been pushing this activity and going in there and helping to make sure that we're not missing an opportunity to modernize, innovate. Much to my pleasure is that the components actually are coming to us asking for, okay, what am I missing? How can we go better, do better, go faster, make sure we're applying the latest technology in these different modernization activities? So it's a huge team effort, we're definitely trying to work together to figure out how best to take advantage of the evolving technology.
All right, suppose you have a legacy system that's in COBOL or some language like that, and the team decides this is one we really have to go after. What is the process for getting it modernized? How does that work from a life cycle standpoint?
I think it all starts with understanding the need, and then we work through the budgetary processes and cycles there. And as you know, it's a multi-year effort sometimes to get things into the budget. So we'll work it work it that way, sometimes. There's other flexibilities we have in terms of funding to get something started until we can get it into the budget. We'll look at that. But by and large, it starts with a good assessment of the need, then we'll be working that into the budget process. I have a seat at every table, actually, sometimes too many tables, but that's great. So I get to weigh in on all the investment decisions, acquisition decisions. So I review all those. There's a lot of mature processes, but that's how typically it works, and that it starts with a basic need.
Sure. We're speaking with Justice Department CIO Joe Klimovich. And what about acquisition? How do you tie the acquisition and the vehicles and that strategy into the modernizing strategy?
Well, obviously, most of our acquisition or most of our modernization efforts involve our industry partners. So the acquisition is incredibly important. We don't have to we can take advantage, and we like to take advantage of other acquisitions that could be shared, other GWACs out there. So not all the acquisitions are our DOJ contracts, but we have to look at the alternatives. Alternative analysis is very important to me. Is what are the different ways of satisfying the need? I think we look at a whole host of acquisitions, but whether it's requests for proposals or actual contract awards or extensions or anything like that, that all comes through my office for review and approval.
And how much is Agile and the DevOps idea playing into your modernization efforts?
Well, I'd say most of our modernization efforts are doing that through Agile development. We've been emphasizing training for Agile development through our program managers. I think at this point, everybody feels that Agile is the way to go. You have to deliver quickly. If you're not delivering something within 6 months to 18 months on a program, it's probably not something that's going to be successful, because the way technology is changing, the way needs are changing, you need to deliver very quickly after you receive the funding, and that means it has to be agile. And agile does present some unique challenges that if you're starting from scratch with a new capability, that's much easier. But if you're trying to replace legacy, which is typically the case, you have to figure out how you can turn off various components of legacy systems, because sometimes you're running new applications and old applications in parallel. can present some unique challenges. But anyhow, we're able to work through that. And I think at this point, I'd say that virtually all of our modernization activities are using Agile methodology.
Justice Department CIO Joe Klimovich. I'm Tom Temin.
For decades, Leidos has been trusted by government and business to solve complex challenges with the application of IT, engineering, and science. This year, gain transformative insights from thought leaders at Leidos, ranked number one in government IT and systems integration, on top-of-mind topics including cloud, legacy systems, IT modernization, open systems, and cybersecurity. Hear more at federalnewsradio.com by searching Leidos. That's L-E-I-D-O-S.
We're speaking with Justice Department CIO Joe Klimovich. And with respect to cybersecurity, of course, the FISMA framework has been around a long time. You said you have something like 58 programs that are either high value or high FISMA rating. But I think over the years, people have come to realize that you need more than just FISMA compliance to have real cybersecurity, especially as you get past legacy systems. So what's your greater cyber strategy besides FISMA compliance?
Well, I mean, we have 36 FISMA high systems, so those get a little extra attention. Really, when you think about overall strategy, the first is to minimize the number of vulnerabilities you have. I mean, if you patch regularly, and some people call this cyber hygiene, but trying to minimize the attack surface and do the right things, the basic things, do them very well. And then you want to make sure that you can respond very rapidly to any kind of intrusions or anything that any kind of anomalous behavior, because some of these things you have to respond to in seconds or faster if you can to contain any kind of thing. You also want to be able to do the analytics and the forensics very rapidly. I will think of cybersecurity today as real time. Everything has to be real time. You want to make sure you've got in the business continuity, the resiliency into your high-value mission essential systems. And you also want to give extra attention to those high-value targets.
All right, let's summarize then simply by asking, what is the decision process you go through to decide this is the first in line to be modernized?
Well, I think, we certainly want to work this in a collaborative way. It starts with the mission need, but we're focused on legacy systems with high security risk that is not mitigated, or systems with high operating costs due to obsolete programming language. And then, as I said earlier, the prioritization of mission impact. If a legacy system is not supporting the mission properly, then that's something that gets elevated in terms of need. I'd say other criteria to help us determine which systems to modernize: age of the system, just in general, unsupported code or hardware. In either case, that means we need to pay more attention. And at the end of the day, though, it's all about doing everything we can to enable the mission so that our priorities are always complementary to supporting the mission. And certainly, as we modernize, we want to make sure we do that without impacting the mission.
I'm Tom Temin. Joe Klimovich is Chief Information Officer of the Justice Department. Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com. Search Insight of the Month. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to this week's Legacy Systems Insight Show, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Legacy Systems.